That's it, okay. So, last 2 weeks ago, we talked about Jesus' suffering, and we talked about Jesus' suffering, and that he had to go to face the cross alone for us. And then last week, of course, we talked about the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection, especially the resurrection of Christ, conquering death. And so this week, we're just kind of continuing in the flow of the story. Because after Jesus appeared to his disciples for a number of days, then he ascended up to heaven. And that's where he is now. And we're awaiting his return. We're awaiting his return. We don't know when that's going to be. The Bible says it'll surprise us like a thief in the night. It'll come like a thief in the night.
A thief? I've been reading some passages, Dad, on the return of Christ like you were talking about. And there was this one in Revelation 16, I think it was. They talked about this concept of Jesus coming like a thief. It goes like this.
It's on the screen.
Yeah, I think it's on the screen here. It says, look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains clothed, so as to not go naked and be shamefully exposed. It actually kind of almost rhymes. But I'm not quite sure about this whole naked thing. Does that mean I should wear pajamas when I sleep?
These are the things that Father said probably shouldn't be done in front of the whole church. But it does remind me, I'll try to save the moment here, it does remind me of last week a little bit. In last week's sermon, we were talking about Galatians 3 and 26 and how Paul called our attention to the fact that those of us who have been baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. We've put on Christ. I used the example of the wristband, you know, that what you don't want to be found is just wearing a wristband, nothing else. When it comes to being clothed, you want to be clothed all over in Jesus Christ. And I think that this verse is calling out the same thing, using the same example. When Jesus returns, you don't want to be found not dressed in him, not clothed in him. And so it's a good verse to begin with.
Yeah, it is. And I've been reading a lot of different passages. Actually, there's one on the front of your bulletin that has to do, I think, with the return of Christ, John 14, 1 through 6. So let's go ahead and read that. It'll be up on the screen as well as on your bulletin. If you have a Bible, open up there to John 14. It's good to look at these passages, maybe in multiple translations. We're using the NIV 2010 this morning up on the screen. So I'll just read it for us. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And I think the Bible is written so that sometimes the disciples can ask the questions we're all wondering about in this passage. So Thomas says to him, I think what I'm thinking, Lord, we don't know where you're going. But how can we know the way? And Jesus answers with the famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I think in my life, when I get through reading a passage like this, I have a lot of hope, like we started out this morning talking about hope, because I know Jesus is going somewhere to prepare. He's preparing a place for me, and that it's not just a place that I'm never going to get to, but in fact, he's actually coming back. He's coming back to bring me to be where he is. Then in times where I'm stressed out, this is what we call dead week. It starts Monday. For our semester in college at NCU. Dead week, I think, because all of us are dead, including our professors. But you might ask Vaughn Palmer about that, how he's doing with all the exams and all the grading that happens. But even for us students, our biggest projects come due. The 10, 12, 20-page papers come due. And it feels like you're dead. And for me especially, I'm going to be graduating this year. Can I really get to graduation? Can I succeed? I get bogged down in the stress. But when I take a step back and look at this passage and say, Jesus is preparing a mansion, a place for me that has many rooms, and he's coming back to get me. He gives me great hope.
He's coming back to his place.
Oh my goodness. All these songs. He just breaks into song.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of good songs, and there's a lot of good texts. And I think that maybe we should look at a few more. The one that's precious to me is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the whole text. text there is really precious, but verses 15 to 17 really speak to our topic today. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who fall asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and remain and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. It's so encouraging to read these accounts to give us a little glimpse of what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. And one of the things I notice in this text, especially, is that there is going to be no doubt about the moment. You won't be thinking, what was that? You think that's Jesus? It's not going to be that way. It's going to be loud. It's going to be loud. Jesus, there's three voices, but Jesus comes with a loud command. And if that's not enough to kind of rock the world, then the archangel, remember that? I don't know if the archangel is exactly that. The archangel is going to have a voice in it. And then God is going to come with the trumpet blast, the trumpet call of God. And it's not going to be like Tyler's trumpet playing. I mean, but I see Tyler's trumpet. But anyway, I lost him. But anyway, he's a trumpet player. I want to make fun of him, but I don't want to say.
I see him. He's hiding.
There he is. He was sitting up in the front where no one sits. It won't be like that. Just a little trumpet play. We were having dinner the other night at the Oregon Marching Band or some elements of it anyway, and a bunch of people went parading down the street and down near campus. It's loud. We heard it in the restaurant. But I don't think they heard it in San Francisco. I don't think they heard it, in Sri Lanka, where I go. The band was loud, but not that loud. And this is going to be no doubt when Jesus comes back. It's going to be loud, and it's going to be no doubt that it's him. That he's coming. Here comes the command, the voice, the trumpet blast, and we're going to be caught up in the air.
It sounds like a noise that's going to raise the dead. I guess
it could be a noise that's going to raise the dead. In the case of this text, that's what it said. When I was a boy, one of the things my mother would frequently say is, "Turn that racket down. You're going to raise the dead." I think you talk about this text. You say that he's approaching the decimal value that the this text gives us a lot of hope when we think about the return of Christ.
Yeah, and another book, a book really that has a lot of hope in it, because it tells us the end of the story is the book of Revelation, right? It basically says that God wins, and then we get a chance to be with him, that Jesus is going to come in on a white horse with the armies of the angels. And the writer, we know as the Apostle John, is seeing this vision at the end of his great vision of heaven, of the city of the New Jerusalem coming down, and he sees a river of life. He gets to this point where he hears Jesus say, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." And I feel like in this verse, in verse 12 here, there's this tension in our life, this tension between reward and judgment, that it is going to be a day of judgment, but it's also going to be a day of reward for what is going on. And later on in verse 20, he says, "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen, Lord Jesus, come.'" And so we see in this passage here, again, this tension between reward and judgment. But again, the time is unknown. I think we've seen that in the passage already about being like a thief. And so what are we looking at? What are we seeing? There's some imagery maybe in Acts 1 that I think is good about the coming and return of Jesus Christ, where he's just been risen from the dead. He's seen, he's been appeared to by the apostles. They've seen him, and he comes to them at the mount, the mountain where he's going to ascend to heaven, and he gives them some final instructions in Acts 1. He says to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." Again, know that. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up, the before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking up into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back to you the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And so we get some pictures. Maybe there's going to be some cloud. I don't know. I put up on the screen maybe a rainbow. I'm not sure that that's true, that there's going to be a rainbow. But what I do know is that the time of day is unknown. But when he comes, there's going to be some clear signs. We're going to see him coming in the clouds like he left. That's going to be that way. And I don't know about this tension between reward and judgment. It seems a little bit spooky. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Or the reward day? Songs don't have it all in there, but it's good stuff. Maybe there's another passage.
And I don't know if you're being that he's coming in July. So that you can see the calendar of the judgment.
That's the flip art.
An example.
It looks pretty good.
The real time is July. I don't want anybody to go away saying they told us the church that he's coming back in July. He's coming in the sky, but we don't know the day or the time. And we don't know if there'll be a rainbow, but anyway, that's something that reminds us of the sky. Okay, well, another text, maybe a little less positive, and one that sometimes scares us a little bit, and so it would be good to have a church not be terrified slightly, so we'd like to share 2 Peter 3.
I think that's why we sing, that song, "Jesus is coming soon, many will meet their doom."
Yeah.
We sing songs like that to scare you.
So 2 Peter 3, the whole text is a good one, but we just share a portion of it here. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything that's done in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speedy its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Make every effort because the world we live in right now is going away. When Jesus comes back, there won't be an option. Like, do you want to go? There's not going to be any option to stay here. It's the end of everything. And so I think it's kind of like there's going to be a big wipeout. A big wipeout coming. Everything's going to be melted with heat somehow and fire. And like, can't sing it anyway. We just have friends who sang a really powerful song about the imagery of the flood, that there's not going to be water, the rainbow and everything, because God remembers his promise not to destroy the world by water again. But he didn't say anything about the fire. Next time it's going to be fire and everything will be destroyed. And it's interesting that text says that we ought to look forward to that day. We should look forward to that day. It's all going to be wiped out when Jesus comes back. And we have to speed its coming. Speed its coming. And I'm not sure what all that means. Like, how do we do that? We don't know when it's coming. But it's like we should be wanting it to come soon. Sooner. Speed its coming. Speed its coming. And to look forward to that day. Maybe like anticipating a holiday or something. And so you hear these prayers even in the Revelation text we talked a few minutes ago about that he ends that powerful book with the prayer, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." That the Apostle John would say, "You know, Lord, come quickly." And yet we sing that every once in a while, that song. I got songs on my mind today. And I'm not just doing that today, actually. We do that a lot, I think, of songs, how they come. But
they're mostly country music songs, but today he was doing church songs.
But there's a need for us, I think, to pray more fervently that the Lord would come and come quickly. Jesus coming, that's the instruction of Scripture from 2 Peter there, chapter 3. And so it's important, given that backdrop, not to be afraid unless you're not ready. And so you need to get ready. And he said, you get ready by being found spotless, by making an effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. And at first glance, that may sound like if you've got to get your act together, that you've got to become right, you've got to get rid of all the sins in your life, and you've got to be a perfect person, spotless, blameless, meeting God's standards, which of course is what you want to try to do, but of course what you know you're not going to be able to do perfectly. Try as you might. I'm saying you shouldn't try. But the effort you really need to make is to be found dressed in his righteousness, to be found trusting in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that makes you spotless, that makes you blameless, that makes you at peace with God, something you can't do. You can't possibly achieve that. But Jesus achieved it for you at the cross.
People get ready, Jesus is coming. Now I can't remember the rest of the words, but it's a contemporary radio song, a Christian music radio song.
Why did he do that?
Anyway, I learned it from somebody. Hey,
next text.
Yeah, next text. Okay, moving on. It's going to be a surprise. I think that's something that we've been looking at in all the texts, right? From the first one that talks about just wear your pajamas or more than your bracelet, you know, don't be found naked when he comes. It's going to be a surprise when Jesus comes. And so there's this passage in Luke, and we're going to read just a couple verses here from verse 39 through 43. He says, "But understand this," Jesus says. "If the owner of this house," he's telling a parable to his disciples, "if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And again, Peter's asking the question we're asking. Where are you telling us this parable, just to us or to everyone? And Jesus answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise man the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns." I guess if it's going to be a surprise, then I want to be doing what Jesus has told me to do. I want to be doing my Jesus-given tasks and roles, the things that the master has given me to do. And I think it's to say it's ready, we got to be ready for it to come. It's not if it's coming, it's when it's coming. My brother likes to skateboard a lot. I didn't get the skateboard talent, and I didn't get a lot of his talent. But I do feel like I've had a chance to experience this snowboarding because I was better on the snow than I am on the concrete. And there's less things that get broken on the snow. However, the same concept happens, and it's actually the same way if you're doing it behind a boat or water skiing too. It's not if you fall, it's when you're going to fall. When your arms give out, when your legs catch the water or the snow catches the edge, and you go down and you are falling in a big avalanche of snow. It's when I'm on the double black diamond and I look down and it seems like it's a cliff that I'm going down. It's not if I'm going to fall, it's how far down I get before I fall. And how far I keep rolling down. I think it's not if God is coming back, it's not if Jesus comes back, but when he comes back. And are we ready? Are we watching for his coming back? Are we that faithful and wise manager who he puts in charge of doing some things on this earth? And so the question that I think we should ask ourselves when we talk about the return of Christ is one about our clothing, right? Are we wearing more than just the wristband? Are we wearing Jesus entirely? But are we actually then, if we're dressed in Jesus, are we doing our Jesus-given tasks, our roles, our jobs? Are we outside? Because I think it's a surprise. I'd like to think that Jesus would come back, you know, on a Wednesday night when I had just a fantastic study with all of you. But for some of you, you might say, I hope he doesn't come back on a Wednesday night when I decided to not come to Bible study. Or maybe I hope that Jesus comes back when I'm taking communion. Because it for me is this most special time when I'm taking of Jesus and remembering what he did for me. And he is, as Paul shared with us this morning, I love the fact that if Jesus would come back then. But he's not telling me when. He's saying, I'm coming. And you got to be ready. You got to be ready even outside, even Monday through Friday. You got to be ready doing the things that he's given us to do.
Watch and pray. Oh, watch and pray. For you know about the hour when the Lord shall come.
But I don't know that song, but I like the words.
I know donkey knows that song. I probably didn't sing correctly. A lot of good songs before you were born. But it's certainly a good question for us to ask. What do we want to be doing? What would you like to be found doing when Jesus returns? We don't preach these sermons that often anymore. We used to have regular dose sermons that we might not get through to the end of service before Jesus comes back. We don't know. We don't know. So we don't know. It could be any minute. It could be before the end of my point. Which you probably want me to get to and not go on until the Lord comes back. But we don't know, so what would you like to be found doing? What would you like to be found doing? That's a good question to have on your mind, and maybe each morning, what if Jesus comes back today, what do I want him to find me doing, find me involved in? Well, we kept full circle for this morning, and we'll try to wrap things up. Reminding you about John 14, 1-6, in your bulletin, that Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And so we know what Jesus is doing now. We know what he's doing. He's preparing a place for us. Because he's going to come back and take us to be with him. And that's really good news that Jesus wants us to be with him. He wants us to be with him. So he's preparing a place where we can be, and he's going to come and get us. He's going to come and get us. So what are we doing while he's preparing the place? As we're getting prepared. We should be doing the work that he gave us to do. And so what's the point of all these points? The point is that we need to get ready when Jesus is coming. And there's two principal ways to be ready. First is to be properly dressed, so I just submit to you again to Galatians 3:26, that putting on of Christ happens in baptism, and it's a full immersion, meaning lots of things, like burial, but also getting fully dressed. So again, not just a wristband that says I'm a Jesus person, but a whole outfit that covers all of you. And so if you haven't done that, we'll be singing in just a few minutes, and we'd love to help you get ready that way. That's the beginning. Beginning preparations. Once you get dressed, then you have to remember to keep that outfit on. And so texts like we saw today, while some may be a little bit scary, if you're not ready, are meant to light a fire in my group. To say, well, what did Jesus really give us to do? What gifts did he give you? What talents did he give you? What service opportunities has he put here for us as his people? And while he's preparing a place for us, he's expecting us to be doing that work. Just like in that parable of the master who goes away and gives the servant work to do, assignment. And so, do you know what his assignment is for you? And if you need help with that, if you haven't been fulfilling the assignment, you can also respond. And we'd love to help you get more ready by praying with you about what that is and encouraging you in doing more of that. But the point is to get ready. In all these texts that we look at today, we don't know when Jesus is coming back, but there's going to be no doubt of the mistake when he comes. And the point is to be ready. Be be ready when he comes. Jesus is coming back. Will you be ready? Let's stand, and we're going to sing our invitation song. You can respond if you need to get more ready for Jesus' return.
My hope is built.